that's the extent of my participation in the bill. And again, that's the part of the bill that I deem most important for me and my constituents, is to allow horticulturists with the definition to take part or participate in that loan fund and for the farmers. There have been other amendments added to the bill, and those folks will have to speak to their amendments themselves. And I'll be glad to answer any questions, even with the farmers or horticulturists.
Representative Passinger, do you have a question?
Well, thank you. Senator Fakes, it's a little awkward for me. I like to look at the statute and kind of determine just exactly what we've added here. Do I understand your testimony that we're only injecting horticulture and fur farming? If I go to the statute, do I otherwise find this bill to read pretty much as is? I guess I'm used to bracketing what we take out and underlining what we're putting in. And maybe I'm missing something. I'm seeing, you know, the second page, I'm seeing what I would understand to be the injection of something new. If I take a look at 310.021, will I find this to read as is, but for horticulture products and for farming?
Right. In section one, SAFRA, Richard is here from Senator Curtulo's office, and he can speak to that. That is, there are parts of that are an addition. The section is repealed and reenacted to read. So many of that is new. Then section two is a whole new section. And that's the definition of horticulturist down there in 03-10-20. And then in section one, item number, let me see here. The section of the bill that I started off with was line 22 on page one. And line... Where's for farmers?
27, I think.
Yes, okay. Right, and line 26, 27. That's how the bill started, with those additions. It was a very short bill. Then, and that would be new to the statute, then the rest of it, Representative Pestinger, is also all new. But those are Senator Petula's amendments, and he will have to speak to those.
Okay, thank you.
And then section two, the horticultural products, is all new. Section C or section 3 on the back page, I believe Richard can speak to, and section 4.
If I could, Mr. Chairman,
Representative, you have odd floor.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I know we're kind of hurrying. I'll check the statute right now, Senator. I want to compliment you, though, on your policy on horticulture. I think that really does address constituents' needs and is very...
Manlizer, particularly Wayne Lizer, who has requested this, and they grouped together who lives in our particular district.
Rosations, their greenhouses, would they be applicable? The tomatoes and
everything? Yes. Mm-hmm. But they form now an Alaska State Horticulturist Association, and this bill is endorsed, or the concept of being able to be participating in the loan fund is endorsed by that State Horticulturist Association.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Just a question, maybe, Jan. Now, you're saying now that also everything on from line 11 all the way down to 27 is new, then. Is that, or is that just being reenacted to read?
Mr. Chairman,
why don't we wait till we get to that point, and then I'll ask him that question.
Okay.
Now, we're also adding, presently in statute, there are no horticultural kind of things that are allowed.
That's correct. They excluded them.
But however, as when I had discussions with the Department of Natural Resources, they indicated that there had been a couple loans that had been made for greenhouses of
some sort. Early on, and then they cut them off. Right.
But the people that originally had the loan were able to keep it. They didn't take the loan away from them.
No, they didn't take them away. The poinsettia people in Eagle River, they have the market on poinsettias. They got one of the first loans, and they have literally got a market on Christmas poinsettias in the Anchorage area, because you can't, and I started the Green Connection in Anchorage, so I know a little bit about this from a business point of view, and I no longer own anything in this business, so I have no conflict of interest on this at all. But I started the Green Connection, which was the first commercial large foliage plant leasing and maintenance business in the state of Alaska. And at that time, when I started the business in 79 and 80, you could compete, everybody could compete and bring up poinsettias at Christmas time, which is a very large market in the Anchorage area. You make lots of money on poinsettias, but you had to go outside, find the greenhouse that had the best deal, find the biggest plant, the least amount of money. It was a real private enterprise thing. And then the greenhouse in Eagle River started growing their poinsettias, and they got and they built their big greenhouse with the state ag loan money. And it absolutely killed the market for anybody else, because there's no way you can compete with homegrown poinsettias from outside. And of course, the only people that market those poinsettias are the greenhouse that got the state loan. So that there was a real pointed example of how a state loan affected the free market system in the city. But I don't begrudge them their loan, because you get nice poinsettias for less money, Alaskan poinsettias. So I don't begrudge them that. I just would like everybody to have a chance at the loan fund, if they qualify.
Yeah, I don't think I'll reserve my questions to DNR. Representative Lindsay.
Well, first of all, I guess it'd be appropriate, because then the red roses here, which is a Alaska homegrown red rose, and it's grown here in Juneau, because it'll be a fun day as well. I note for Representative Pessinger that, again, the committee is staff did the work. We had a copy of the statute in the file.
Thank you.
And essentially, all the wording through line 21 is directly out of the statute, except that in the manner in which it's drafted, I think it's more clear and better job than what the way it is currently laid out in statute. And essentially, from line 22 through 27 is what is added, and does do exactly what the senator indicated. And I understand, Senator, that Section D should be addressed, not to you, but to the next one.
Senator Fakes, just maybe one last question. On the Senate side, was there a fiscal note?
No.
No fiscal note?
No fiscal.
Zero fiscal note.
No, we don't want to add any money to the loan fund. We just would like these people to be able to compete based on criteria that the loan fund might set up for the dollars.
Because, you know, we reviewed, at least for the record, we reviewed all the loan funds in the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, and they were requesting, they said, well, in discussions with Sharon Barton, that they could get by with $11 million, and that this would be no problem. However, if they got down to $5 million or $10, $8 million, they'd have a real problem with it. And it was, I guess, given the provisions of this bill, that they could do it with the $11 million. So we've already passed a smaller budget than actually $11 million. So I don't know how we're going to have to look and address the fiscal note on this bill over here, I guess, based on our own work.
Yeah.
Do we have
zero.
A fiscal note?
Yeah.
You have zero fiscal note from this side, too, right?
No, not yet.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Are there further questions?
Thank you very much for the interest in the committee. I'm going out now to buy a tractor. We're doing gravel work on the property in Juneau, so I'm going to go home and do my farm work now. And I appreciate the committee meeting this afternoon very much. You got a shame to be in here in the sunshine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll just go right down the list. I see a lot of people back there. Senator Katula's office. You're with Senator Katula.
Yes,
I'm trying to think of the question.
I'm Richard Ramsey.
Yes.
I am here to answer any questions the committee may have on Section 3 and 4 of the Finance Committee, if the committee has any questions.
On Sections 3 and 4.
I
have some questions on that. Maybe it would be best to take the legislative input first, then we'll go to the Department of Natural Resources. Okay. So we want to give legislators a chance to.
Thanks very much. For the record, my name is Richard Ramsey. I'm an assistant to Senator Katula. I did not come with a prepared statement from the senator on the amendments. If you'd prefer some explanation, that'd be fine. If I cared to ask questions, I could respond.
Yes, Richard. What is the intent on line 8 through 11? The term of a loan made under this subsection may be extended for up to 3 years by the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund Board in the discretion of the board upon application by the borrower.
Okay.
Why are we needing to make more extensions? It seems like we've got a default problem in a number of different loan funds.
There have been, Mr. Chairman, there's been considerable criticism of the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, the delinquency rate. The primary cause of that delinquency rate is the short-term operating loan. What the effect of this amendment would be is to give the the same discretion that the Ag Revolving Loan Fund Board and other revolving loan funds have, such as the Com Fish Revolving Loan Fund, to give the board the discretion to make adjustments in those operating loans. The operating loans primarily for the farmers or agriculturalists to purchase seed, fertilizer in the spring of the year, and to repay that same loan when the crop is harvested.
A question then, perhaps if this becomes law and we go back to Section 1, in the case of the allowance now for the fur farming activities plus the horticultural activities, would there also be a grant under that section as you read it?
I think, Mr. Chairman, it may be appropriate for the department to respond on that. I think it would come under the regulations put together by the department for those activities.
Okay, Representative Wente has a question.
Well, I guess I could see the problem. It seems to me when you have a loan intended to be amortized in 1 year, and they can't meet that, and then you give them an extension of 3 years, it's kind of what they're doing.
Okay.
What do you think, and I understand the position you're in terms of response, if you don't know what the senator's feeling would be, but to be consistent, assuming there is legislative background on having a one-year loan term, to authorize the board, or change the wording, to authorize them to make 3 extensions of 1 year. In other words, if the guy's having a problem, they can extend it a year at a time, 3 times, and after that, he's going to pay it hell out of water. Instead of giving the board, okay, you got a 1 year loan, and we can extend it 3 times the original.
I can't speak for Senator Vertul on this. It is my impression that the loan fund board does not say you have to extend it for 3 years. It is giving them the ability to place some extension on the repayment of the short term loan.
Could the situation in the industry be, and I don't know anything about that, could it be a situation they got a loan in the spring? You could pay back, something happens during that year, they can't pay it back, they're going to need a loan the second year. It could be that, let me ask you, could it be their intent that they don't want to have to shoulder them for paying 2 years loans back in 1 year, and therefore they want to extend it for 3 years? I'm bad at conditioning the industry that they exist.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I guess in year one, they get in spring of 85 or 84, they get a loan supposed to be paid back in a year.
Right.
Crop falls through, they're going to have to come back and get a loan for the crop of 85. And the kid, instead of having to pay 2 back that year,
it would enable the farmer exactly to extend it out. Keep in mind that the income from the farmer is based upon the success of his crop, or the agricultural success of their harvest.
Representative Copeland has comments.
More or less adding testimony. Outside, many of these loans are negotiated for about 8 months. Realize that what happens is that typically the Oregon or someplace will have, or Wisconsin, will have the machinery available, the local distributor, will have grain and fertilizer available locally. You can make your arrangements with the banker in the fall and get some money when you need it in the spring. You then harvest the crop in the fall. You either put it in a federal loan program in one of those ubiquitous bunkers, or other ways dispose of it, start paying off your loan. However, you may also be selling it. So that's what we need. 18 months. 1 year is probably incorrect with even outside your operating. But up here, some of my constituents have had the problem that the materials, the loan board doesn't meet sufficiently often to process all the loans in a timely manner. money doesn't come available when you need them. I believe the loan board was quarterly.
Mandatory to quarterly
There is a minimum number of 8 meetings a year and it's meeting every 2 weeks.
Okay, well, for a while there. If you want to buy equipment, you have to have the money available when it's available, or else you make a contract to buy it outside. Also, for instance, in barley, which of course has been a big thrust in agriculture in Alaska, there hasn't exactly been a plain and open market for it. So a lot of it has been put into storage until we reach critical mass or if we need to pay cash. So that people have not been in a position to pay back on the regular type of schedule. So it isn't actually to harvest but for the sale or to the making a loan against the store grain or product. In horticulture like that, you will have seasonal sale, for example, in poinsettias, other items you have a year-round schedule. But much commercial agriculture has a harvest which the sale of which is then attenuated sometimes because we don't have the kind of market development distribution in Alaska in 2005. Disposing with products rapidly, so you have to hold them and sell them as you go on exchange. So that this 3-year extension would make it possible to draw off more realistic contracts on repayment schedules. And the current 1-year thing almost forces people into into default because it's just out of sync with everything. I think the Ag Loan Board is learning business a little better than
Representative Peskin? Yes, after Representative Copeland and Representative Peskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies. Your name is?
Richard Branson.
Okay. Richard, I was looking at this section 4, the last section, and it looks like the only addition, or basically the thrust of it, is we're talking about loan proceeds being available for land clearing, and are we extending it for land that has the agriculture potential for production of annual crops, hay, or for pasture?
This is fairly technical relating to soil land classification. The effect of this amendment is to give the Agri-Revolving Loan Fund Board more flexibility for making loans for clearing for land. The existing statute says loans can be made for clearing of class 2 and 3 soil suitable for agriculture. In effect, a great deal of the soils in Alaska that are certainly suitable for agriculture are not class 2 or 3 soils. For example, the Gold Stream soil north of the Alaska Range Fairbanks Delta is a class 4 soil. It is quite frequently permanently frozen. You clear the soil, you clear the land, and provide adequate drainage, and you have super agricultural soil.
Here's my question. I appreciate that. When we say that we're going to change the definition of classification to include land having a potential for pasture, do you know of any conditions in the Agriculture Loan Fund to require that it in fact be used as pasture? I guess I'm thinking, I've got nice 60 acres too that I could like to clear it, and it's certainly got pasture potential, but then it would even lend itself more nicely to developmental potential. And I'd hate to see me take advantage of an 8% loan for that purpose. Tell me about the safeguards so that won't happen. Because if it's for pasture, I want it to happen. But if it's for a developer that wants to come in the back door, I'm not for it happening.
It's an existing statute. I'm deferring to the department on that.
Okay, it is.
The loan becomes unpayable if it is used for any other thing other than agricultural purposes. And also, occurring loans are made only on agricultural land.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We'll ask you to address that up to the microphone, I guess. Any more questions for
thanks, Mr. Ramsey.
Richard Ramsey, Representative Whitfield?
No, I have no more questions for Mr. Ramsey. I don't mean any disrespect to anyone here, but I guess I'd like to ask if there's anybody waiting to testify that either opposes the bill or want to make some amendments to it, and we could have them testify. If not, I would be interested in
hearing. Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Anybody else that would like to oppose the bill? Okay, then we'll go on to the Department of Natural Resources. Representative Wendy, did you want to make a comment before they come?
I just had to direct that to the department as well.
Okay. Okay. We would like to have the Department of Natural Resources come forward and Dean Brown, right?
That's correct.
Yes,
Dean Brown, Deputy Director of Division of Agriculture. And we do support this bill. Some of the points and questions that have been made, I think, are very pertinent to this. Representative Kopelman explained very well the reason for needing a three-year extension on it. Under present law, there's a one-year period for short-term loans. And in fact, farmers, if they have to come in between January and May to get their loans in order to order fertilizer and things to ship up from outside. So in fact, their loans frequently become due anywhere between January and May the following year, which does not fit with even their crop repayment schedule. If they have one bad year and cannot repay that, they still have to come in the following year. And as Representative Copeland pointed out, they have to borrow funds for that year also. So in order to set up a realistic payment schedule they can meet, you need a longer period of amortization. Our delinquencies in the Ag Revolving Loan Fund, presently 41% of those delinquencies are short-term loans that have been amortized 1 year. They can't be rewritten into any other category. They can't be put into a reasonable repayment schedule. So it has a significant effect on the fund and tends to demoralize the farmers. Many of them they want nothing better than to be able to repay their loans too.
Representative Copeland, I'll have some
about your comments on the other two amendments on horticulture and horticulture.
Horticulture, if I may give a slight bit of history, Senator Fakes did in fact represent it correctly in the early portions of the fund up until about 5 years ago. Loans were made for horticulture. The board, because they felt that there was rapid expansion of agriculture, it was clear within the last couple of years that state funding for the program was diminishing, basically adopted a policy not giving loans to horticulture. They felt that loans should be going towards basic food production or livestock production. These were critical portions of the industry and that providing money had a larger ripple effect. The Department of Natural Resources has put forward regulations which have been implemented that do include horticulture, and that was at the Commissioner of Natural Resources instigation. So at the last meeting, there was in fact a horticulture loan made against the urban agency.
Yes, Representative Copeland.
I noticed the regulations are included. It's a well documented material in 11 AAC 39.21 by enterprise by local human or livestock production. This includes appropriating for enterprise agriculture and other food production. It also includes horse breeding and raising operations. And the reason I raised the appropriateness of including those and excluding those horse breeding is that it's a significant operation. It does raise considerable amount of money from Alaska and lots of horses. And also, it is a significant market for barley, grain, hay, and my other operations. In other words, it would be a significant addition to the overall picture. I realize that most people raise horses
commercial operations, round out the agricultural picture. I don't particularly, I don't wish to utter the bill with any more additions, apparently, especially when it's a matter of the agency changing the regulations that they have to hold for farming and greenhouses out of it. But I was wondering if the department would look favorably on recommending that the regulations drop that restriction while maintaining the one on riding cattle in the school. I would agree with that.
That's an excellent point, and in fact was something that was discussed by the commissioner and the board. The final filing of the regulations does include commercial horse breeding and raising operations. Specifically for the reasons you state, it is a major market for many farmers.
Just a couple questions here, and then I'll let if there are more questions from committee members. Representative, are you finished? Okay. The question I guess I have is, we're speaking about some of these loans that have been made for greenhouses. Now you said you just approved one. Is that in the regulations that allows that to approve?
Yes.
However, there's nothing in statute that really allows to have that occur.
There's nothing in statute that prohibits that. It's not addressed in statute. It is, however, addressed in statute under Title III that the Division of Agriculture, which the Commissioner jointly administers the Agri-Revolving Loan Fund with the Board, does promote agriculture. So it is mentioned in statute, but not under the Agri-Revolving Loan Fund. So this would be the first place that it's put in.
Okay, now on your regulations here, if we go back 1983, I assume those are currently, we have a copy of it here. Okay, it states loans will not be made for the following purposes, and it goes, enterprises not operated primarily for human or livestock food production, including but not limited to horse breeding and raising operations, fur breeding and fur farming enterprises, Sylvia culture projects, whatever that is.
Mr. Chairman, the section says it will not be made for those.
Yeah.
I don't believe you have the final copy that was submitted to
okay.
The Governor's office.
Well, this is
those,
the old.
Those, in fact, are.
These are 1983.
That's probably the draft. Because those under the regulations do make loans to fur farming, horticulture, so.
Okay, so these are new regulations that have come up since 1983.
No, sir, it was all one process.
Oh.
There's only been that you probably have an earlier draft, and the final filing of those regulations was basically finalized last month. It went through public hearing last summer.
Where did we get these?
We get these from the back.
Oh, these can be sent for base.
I'd be happy to supply the committee with
okay.
The current ones, but it does
well,
take
I, I just, I guess I just, I'm trying to sort of get to a point here, and the point is, I guess, my concern is that not that I'm against greenhouses or loaning money particularly for that. It seems though that the real intent of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund is not for the commercial production of like flowering plants and things like that. Now hydroponic tomatoes and some of those kind of things, that would be to me where they're actually doing something that's revolutionary where they're growing fruit or tomatoes or something inside, then I think that has more of a tendency to fit into the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. But when we get into the commercial, I think that the concern is going to be that over the years, as more and more people get involved commercially with greenhouses, it's going to, with the limited amount of funds, it's going to drain money from the other projects that are needed. But that's my opinion on it.
What the hell is a hydroponic tomato?
Well, these are
the way you grow trees.
Dean Brown can probably back this up, and it's very interesting. There are tomatoes that are grown in Alaska that you can pick up in Anchorage at the Safeway or wherever that are grown in Alaska, and you pay about four times or several times over what you pay for them in that you would normally get tomatoes which are shipped in from outside.
Hydroponic.
And they. By water.
You mean you water them and they listen to music?
No, what they are is actually the root system is in water, and it's actually neutralized, or not, the nutrient is actually in fluid or something which goes into these trays. And so there, that's something that's been real revolutionary. Here we've got someone that's going to produce something, and I guess they've made a real business of it. Now,
they have an excellent market. They're excellent tomatoes, and it's a lot more economical because they simply add a nutrient to dissolve into the sterile medium, and it flows through, the plants pick it up, and you don't, normally in any type of plant operation like that, you have to periodically strip all the plants out, re-sterilize the soil, and reprocess it, and avoid that process entirely. So it's a very good business. Mr. Chairman, the Agri-Voting Loan Fund Board did in fact support the exact opinion you have of that.
Isn't that interesting? Now, was there a loan that was actually made for the hydroponic tomatoes?
There has been one, yes.
Oh, how interesting. Well, that, I guess that's just my concern, that I'd like to see it go for kind of things like that are more revolutionary kind of things for food production, whereas I think when we get into flowering plant, we're going to have all the people that are from the interior saying, my gosh, there's all these unlimited funds, and they're building them $2 or $3 million. Gosh, how much are the greenhouses growing? Yeah, tremendous amount.
They readily will take $1 million to $2 million for a large greenhouse.
Committee members to know what they're voting for.
I think this is where the discretion of the board will come into play on those types of things, because they're quite concerned that the funds lent out will be for agricultural purposes that will have a wider effect for employment and expansion.
Will you prioritize the actual loans that go out? In other words, will the greenhouses be 2, 3, 5, 10?
There's been a lot of discussion of that. At the present time, they don't intend to do that, primarily because then you would be earmarking a certain percentage of the dollars for certain industry that may not, in fact, reflect the actual growth overall of the various portions of the agricultural industry.
Well, I guess, yeah, my concern on that is that, we passed, of course, our appropriations bill on our loans committee that passed the House, and as I recall, everybody voted for it in the final form, and, I just wondered what would happen if there was only so many funds, how would you look at it when the greenhouse people came in and said, well, we want all this stuff for greenhouse.
Question, not... I remember the original revolving loan that started with the state days, and there was no in the early 60s, in Fairbanks, we had the Premier Berry, and we had met Mr. May, and someone read, that the money was in the process, so immediately there was a loan made shortly there, picked up and going to the university. Golden Heart Creamery started, and then Carnation came in and circled. So we had at that point, five processors in Fairbanks for roughly 300 cows. Which was just about enough to run one processor production line 8 hours, and they all went belly up. I was wondering, in other words, it was a massive misallocation of scarce capital, because in those days we didn't have that much capital. But what it meant was the death of the dairy industry in the Fairbanks area. Is the Ag Revolving Loan Board being a little hard-nosed about allocation of capital so that you don't have this sort of misallocation, so that we won't suddenly find ourselves with five competing outfits, all of which might break even if they had a monopoly?
In my opinion, Representative Coleman, they are in fact. They have spent a lot of time in meetings discussing exactly what effect on the industry and the number of producers and whether or not proposals are feasible. So their major concern is that funding not end up putting the industry portion out of business. And that's a very valid example you've given, and in fact is a critical reason.
Any one of those loans would have been feasible by themselves. All of them are collectively for a disaster.
Yeah.
Representative Wente, you still maintain that you have a question?
I would be a little haggard. Welcome a motion from the fine vice chairman.
Well, the fine vice chairman may have some questions before he makes a motion.
Well, I will have a motion if
that's the case.
Well, Representative Passenger has another question. We certainly don't want to cut out debate in this particular committee. I've always allowed a great deal of latitude to all the committee members here. So Representative Passenger has the floor.
I'm looking on this.
And since I didn't have a question, I'll now make one up.
The sun is shining. Briefly.
Do I read this correctly, that we're limiting this, if there's not a disaster, to $2,000 a bar? I was just looking at this line 7, page 2. The short term one.
To $200,000. That's correct. Okay. That's presently existing in statute documents.
Okay, then for my edification, I apologize for my ignorance, Ron appreciates. We also, the long term then is available in what? Do we have any caps on it, or how does that work?
Yes, there is an overall cap, which would be a combination of all types of loans, of $1 million. With the exception that processing loans can only be $250,000. So if you have a processor, it would only be a limit of $250,000. If you have a farmer who has short-term money, chattel needs for livestock or equipment, and farm development, any combination of those cannot exceed $1 million.
Thank you. Someone wants to build a greenhouse that's got a cop. They want to build two or three or four. When do you cut them off? If they run, say, $250,000 a unit, or whether
it would be $1 million, period. And the regulations also have provisions in there for members of the immediate family, and so that one person could not come in and get successive $1 million limits. And has in fact been.
Well, I'm sure that then our horticulturists then they have $1 million limit basically. It's not short term. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Are there further questions? We will be subsidizing the greenhouses now too. Representative Passenger, I'll accept the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we pass out of committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 Finance with the applicable fiscal note and individual recommendations. He didn't write it up for me this time.
Very good.
I will object in case there's anybody else that wants to testify before we pass. We have a gentleman. Hello. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection? So ordered.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn the meeting.
Don't
any further bills that the committee people are interested in doing, we'll do next.